I got my drink in hand. Cheetos are within easy reach.
All right.
Hey, you guys good to go?
Yeah,
I am good to go.
Okay, yep. Cool. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another Pulse Pounding episode of the BAMF podcast. I'm here tonight with gaming legend Steve Kenson. How you doing, Mr. Kenson?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Mike.
Glad you could make it. And RPG artist luminary Dan Hauser. Dan, good to have you back.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, Dan. You are the fresh prince to my Carlton. I'm glad whenever you can make the podcast.
Indeed, man, indeed. I always like being on the podcast, and finally I have some time, so that's good.
Yeah, it's been a rough Christmas for you, hasn't it?
Dude. Well, I took on a day job to kind of patch the holes in the freelancing gig, and it happened to be retail, so it's been nuts, to say the least. But it is officially over. The season is officially over, so I'm back to normal, and convention season starts up for me next month, so that will be cool.
Okay, should we pimp? I guess you and Dossie are going to be at somewhere in Ohio drawing pictures?
Yeah, OhioCon in Columbus. Same place Origins is at. And I believe it's in the same hotel slash convention area.
Oh, cool.
Okay, and what's the day on that?
It's January 28th through the 30th, I think.
So go to
the
Ohio.
Of the 28th. Go to Ohio and get some pictures drawn by me.
Yeah, when James and Dan combine their artistic talents, they're like Voltron coming together. And
it's true.
Yeah, they do amazing stuff.
He slices beasts in half.
There's a big sword on the back.
Giant heavy sword.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Giant Heaven, the podcast and freaking contributors at Mutants and Masterminds has a Kickstarter everyone should look at right now. It's for a mad scientist theme game called Frankendie. And they are perilously close to making their goal of $9,500. They're $82,000. Awesome. Yeah, $8,200 right now. So just go to Kickstarter.com, search for Frankendie. You'll recognize Darren Calvert's style. He's the primary artist for this. And looks like it's a mad scientist themed card game, and I don't want to ramble on too much more. Just go to the website, and it just looks like the most fun you can. They've had the funnest thing since distilled liquor. It just looks like it's a lot of fun to play. So
anything that encourages, you know, Darren to do more art is a good thing, in my opinion.
I am 100,000% behind that. Anything for DMAC getting out there and making more stuff, I would always be behind it. He is one of my big inspirations in the field of art. It's like DMAC, probably Mike Waringo, and like Ed McGuinness and Joe Matarera. But DMAC, man, just his pictures in Mutants and Masterminds alone were like definite standouts.
Good stuff.
Absolutely.
He astrides this bigger world like a colossus. He's a hell of a man.
Indeed.
Yes. So,
a well-drawn, well-shaded colossus.
So go to Kickstarter.com, search for Frankendie, like Frankenstein, lose the sign, add the die, and do the right thing. How about our friend Darren? And Steve.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You seen any cool movies or any cool books lately?
Gosh, I haven't seen too many movies of late. But I did get a few books for the holidays, so I managed to snag myself a copy of the Absolute Edition of Alan Moore's Promethea, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous-looking book, so I'm enjoying that, or re-enjoying it, as the case may be, as far as the story content goes.
That was a really unusual read back in the day.
Yeah, it's a fun book. It's one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, I was picking it up monthly, and that's definitely a journey. Cool. Well, I just read, I'm not a big Fantastic Four fan, but I just read Fantastic Four 600 and 601.
Mm.
And did you see that?
Yeah, it's a good book.
Holy crap. Yeah, spoiler alert, Johnny Storm comes back from the dead in the negative zone, kicks Annihilus' ass, brings the Annihilation Wave through to Earth, and beats up a Kree Armada. It's,
It's pretty cosmic.
Yeah, big screen fun. I really enjoyed it. So.
Very cool. I wonder if that has any bearing on, like, the new Marvel Studios getting all their licenses all back together.
I imagine it has a lot to do with that and the fact that the Fantastic Four are appearing in the Season 2 of the Avengers cartoon.
Seriously? Man, Season 1 has been so good. Like,
yeah.
I'm talking, like, Justice League Season 2 good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprised. I don't like the theme song, but other than that, I love the cartoon.
Oh, see, I love the theme
that
song.
That new metal theme song. That new metal theme song. I don't know, man. Like, if you have to compare that to Trent Reznor's We're In This Together Now. I mean, come on. Joss Whedon picked a great song for a trailer.
We were standing on our own, but now we're not. Fuck, I can't remember. Sorry. Can you sing it for me, Dan?
No. Avengers, assemble. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching on Netflix because I've been really sick with bronchitis the last 3 weeks. And, there have been cameos, actually. The in the cast of Ancient Winters, you got Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm.
The Torch and Thinger in that episode. Yeah, but supposedly the first episode of season 2 is a Doctor Doom episode.
Mm.
So the Fantastic Four are supposed to be in it.
It's going to be a really handsome guy with electric powers, I hope. Since they're sticking with all the movie universes.
Yeah, I think we're pretending that the Fantastic Four movies didn't happen, but maybe I'm wrong. Speaking of movies, did you guys hear that they've optioned Guardians of the Galaxy for a live-action movie?
Well, like Marvel's pretty much optioned every property they have at this point, haven't they?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And I mean,
but it's good. It's good. I mean, Marvel Studios can, and merging with Disney now gives them funds to do things like X-Men First Class.
Yep.
You know?
Sure.
Fassbender's now a household name. They could seriously make a Magneto movie all by himself, and he would sell it.
Oh, I totally agree with Ken Hite that I would gladly pay money to watch 2 hours of Magnus Nazi Hunter. You know,
indeed.
As, you know, Magneto just goes around the world, you know, killing off old Nazis.
That's an awesome idea. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Go on.
No, that's precisely what I called that movie. People were asking me what I think of it. I was like, well, it makes me wish that. Magneto would have Michael Fassbender in the first X-Men movie in old people makeup. Not that I don't like Ian McKellen. I have huge respect for him, and I love his Magneto. I still do. I even like him in the third movie. I know a lot of people malign the third movie, but I thought it was just like an X-Men comic. Maybe not a Chris Claremont, but definitely a good one, you know? Like maybe a Shadow Cat with Lockheed version of X-Men.
I don't
like that kind of old. It's an old, comfortable shoe X-Men. But the very end was classic X-Men. Wolverine and Jean Grey die, or Wolverine almost dies, and Jean Grey of course dies.
I don't think Chris Claremont would translate well to the screen.
I don't know.
And I'm not maligning his work. I don't think Ray Bradbury translates well to the screen. I love me some Ray Bradbury. Just some guys, the work doesn't really work, you know, in a movie.
Are you saying I have no mouth yet I must scream when make a good movie?
I am saying exactly that, yes.
But Harlan Ellison did have some good Star Trek ideas, so it all balances out. It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of good ideas, you guys have one recently.
Indeed.
One or two.
One or two. Let's talk about Retcon Quest, the latest, greatest, shiniest adventure, ladies and gentlemen, to come out for the Icons role-playing game system. And it's by brand new, newly minted, with that new company smell, Ad Infinitum Adventures, which is, Steve, this is your own imprint, right?
Yeah, which is basically me. Retcon Quest was an adventure that I wrote for, I was a guest at convention down in Connecticut, not surprisingly. Called Conquest, and I amongst the other seminars and game events I was doing, I wanted to run an Icons game, so I wrote Retcon Quest to run at the convention, and it was a nice little one-off game, and it was written so that I could get the players playing before they even knew who their characters were, so that they could create characters during the game rather than having to walk them through character creation before the game or do pre-gens or things like that, because one of the fun things about Icons is rolling up characters for it. So I just set the game up so that not much of a spoiler here, because history has been changed at the beginning of the adventure, the characters don't actually know anything about their real lives and the original timeline they're from. So that gave the players the opportunity to get right into the game and create their characters as they went.
And it was a fun game, and I did it up for the con, ran it. Players had a good time with it. And it sort of sat on my hard drive for a while, and I decided I wanted to do something with it. So I decided to format it, lay it out, and, you know, see about, just putting together a decent PDF to sell.
Okay, cool. How's it been doing? Can I ask you that?
It's been doing okay. Okay. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a small press, you know, PDF, and it's the first effort along those lines, but it seems like it's gotten some interest from the core Icons fans. It's been available for sale for, I'm not even sure if it's been an entire month yet.
Looks like that's updated on 12/15.
Okay, so yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But initial response seems to be pretty decent. So people seem to be enjoying it. Got one 4-star review. So
from Mr. Alexander Osias.
That seems to be doing pretty well. And so when I decided I was going to put it up to sell it, you know, as a real live product, you know, who else was I going to go to for Icons artwork except for Dan, who has defined,
I appreciate that.
You know, whole look of the game as far as that goes. So I really wanted to, you know, it to have the Icons look. So I asked Dan if he was available, and of course, you know, Dan being, you know, the speedy guy that he is, you know, pretty much I gave him art specs and, you know, he, you know, gave me art, you know, pretty much immediately.
Dan's a monster that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I have been working. The funny thing is that it kind of came between the finishing up of Volume 4 of the Guide to Superheroes for Icons.
Mm-hmm.
With me and Jason Tondro.
Yep.
And just before I was starting something for Paragon, I'm actually doing a bunch of stuff for their Heroes Incorporated line for both Icons, Mutants, and Masterminds. So I was like, man, I haven't done Icons style stuff in a while. So when Steve came along, I was like, of course, working with Steve. I love working with Steve because he always gives me great stuff to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everyone else doesn't, but it's just like immediately I come up with an idea for something the second Steve says something, and then I can just immediately jump in there. Jason's also a kind of guy like that. Like, he'll give you a very clear picture of what he had in mind, and then I'll throw something back. And I like hearing when Steve is surprised at what I do.
Yeah.
Like the cover, for example. I basically decided that when I read the first couple paragraphs of the description, that I really had a Days of Future Past idea in mind. So
right. Right, which is terrific.
I basically put Saguaro and All-American Girl Without Powers on the cover. So if you ever wondered what Saguaro looked like before he was a big green guy, he was a bald guy, kind of like Ben Grimm.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Saguaro from way back, you know.
That was the very first Icons thing I drew.
Yes, yes.
Because I just read your description of what your name was, and I said, well, that guy needs to be drawn, definitely.
Yeah, I described the playtest character on a thread on RPGNet, and Dan literally had a picture, like, I think it was like within the hour my describing it. There was a full-blown, like, full-color picture of Saguaro, like, on the thread. So
yeah, I'm always a fan of doing stuff immediately. Now I'm kind of slowing down as far as my pace goes, only to make sure that everything comes out a little bit more polished as far as, like, shading and stuff. I'm now getting a lot into how I shade Icon stuff and how I color it. But Icon stuff is always super fast because the shading is trying to be like the animated series, and there's only usually two-tone shading, and it's just one side is light color, one side is super saturated and slightly darker for the shadows, and the other side is just the regular colors. So in that sense, it's keeping it really easy. And I also finished a team up not too long ago, which you also worked on, correct, Steve?
Yes. Yes, I did. I wrote a pretty significant portion of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you see any art from that yet?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't seen a lot of the final art from that yet. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That book is, like, I can't wait. That's one of my best pieces of work next to next to Retcon Quest. Like, Retcon Quest was just a couple pieces, you know, it wasn't, because it's such a short module.
Yeah.
It was basically a convention, which I found really funny in the review. He says it would be really good as an introductory adventure. I said, yeah, we actually say that in the first two pages, I think.
It's four.
Is that what it's designed for? So I don't know if he took a star off because it wasn't explicit, but I don't know. I always enjoy when he says what's in the book as a beef with the book. So I don't know. I love our RPG, the RPG Now reviewers, because they all are really, like, honest about their opinions.
Mm, yeah.
They are really honest about what they think.
I don't know if that's a botched diplomacy role or just maybe the most artful background I've ever seen, but okay, cool.
Every single guy I've ever had a review from who ever said, you know, I hate this art, blah, 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 it's never, the art is technically unsound, the art is this or that.
I don't like this art style.
This at all.
Right.
And I now, as a mature adult, I go, I can see that. I can see how you would like this. And then now I also realize that you probably didn't pay for the item. So I usually get a lot more personal emails when they really hate something. They'll go, dude, you should give up or hang yourself or all this stuff, like private messages. And I haven't gotten one of those yet, so it can't be all bad.
There you go.
You know, a lot of reviews come down to, I didn't like this, I'm going to justify why. But, I mean, it's like a good example.
Honestly, that is a terrific example. That is a terrific way to put it. I didn't like this, but now this is why I didn't.
Well, Neil Gaiman had an example on his blog where he was talking about the reviews for the Scooby-Doo movies. And, I mean, the Scooby-Doo movies weren't making any pretense of being fine art. It was live-action Scooby-Doo. It was a money grab. You want to see Michelle Gellar running around as Daphne? Here you go. And people just wrote, you know, the kind of reviews that, you know, daily newspaper reviewers write about movies like that, you know, describing them as the worst movie of the year and horrible direct, but it's a freaking Scooby-Doo movie. Really, what were you expecting?
What were you expecting?
did you see the CGI dog on the poster? Did you see the word Scooby-Doo on your ticket? Did you think?
I have three words. Freddie Prinze Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a good Fred. A good, like, jackass Fred. And what's his name? Who plays Shaggy? I can't remember his name. He's been in a lot. Matthew Lillard was fantastic as Shaggy. I watched that
role
with my nieces, and they are. It's a fairly funny kids movie. But again, I think most reviewers love flicks so much that they forget that they're no longer kids. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. That's my thought on reviewers. But hey, you know, I hate to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it. And
sure.
Just to go flashback to Villainomicon, because we did two or three podcasts previewing Villainomicon over the space of 4 to 6 months. And
something like that.
Each podcast was Villainomicon is almost out. And having said that, and I'm going to apologize to you before I ask this question. I'm sorry. Do we know when Team Up is coming out?
Do we know for absolute fact? No.
Okay. All right.
I can say what I know, which is all of the art is finished. The layout is in progress. As a person who has a family, as well as, you know, Gareth has a family, and Gareth is juggling three big projects now, which is the Icons line, Buckaroo Banzai pre-production, and Far West getting finalized.
Right.
That
we know of.
That we know. Exactly. These are all the things he's just announced. I know this guy, like, now he's deciding that he's burning the candle at both ends and the middle and setting the house on fire and then getting as much light as possible is the point here. I know that he said the late December or January, and it seems like it's on track for that kind of a release. So I would imagine January we're going to see PDFs going out, and then February.
Yeah, my impression is that the PDF release is imminent.
Yes.
You know, what exactly that means, you know, we'll see. But I would think pretty soon.
Yeah. Let's not forget that Entertainment's also doing Tales of New Crobazon. Set in the Batman universe.
That's been on the back burner for quite a while.
Circulating since 2008.
Yep. Ultimately was the reason that I decided not to knock on Gareth's door with Retcon Quest, just because he's got enough on his plate right now going on. And also
the Omnibus is coming out right after Team Up. Like, that's
right.
The next big thing.
Right.
Volume 1 of the Omnibus, the Adventure Omnibus.
Right, which is a print edition of collection of the PDF Adventures.
Oh, will that be POD through RPG Now or something else?
You'd have to check Gareth about the printing.
I thought it was going to be one of the last things Cubicle 7 was doing.
I think so too, but I can't say that for sure.
Are they moving to all black and white? Because I know they were talking about that.
Again, I don't know.
Yeah, that does seem to be the trend.
But
okay, that's cool. Yeah, trying to get Angus on. Of course, Angus is no longer Cubicle 7. So
right.
But he's doing his own thing now. So okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Okay, so Retcon Quest is available on RPG Now for a very reasonable price. Oh, go ahead.
$3.95. Yeah.
$3.95, less than $4. That's one half what it costs you to buy Fantastic Four 600.
Yeah, that's true.
So you should check it out. It's a cool adventure. Great art, and it's Steve freaking Kenson. What do you want? It's one of the best adventures you can buy. I mean, Jesus, come on, people.
Are you serious?
Really?
Grow up. You just buy it already. God.
What's wrong with you? We need to talk
fans.
About...
Stop being fans and be actual purchasers. I'm sorry. It's the holidays.
You know, the one shilling comment, you know, I'll make is that Retcon Quest is kind of an experiment on my part in, you know, self-publishing small things, you know, like adventures. And if it does well, I may well be encouraged to do other things like that. But, you know, only if it, you know, turns out to be worth bothering. You know, if it turns out not to be, then obviously I'm, you know, better off not.
And it sounds like you're saying the jury is still out on that question?
Yeah, the jury's still out on that question.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's only, you know, 2 weeks into the thing being on sale. So it'll be a while before, you know, I have a real sense of it.
Just a caveat, I've been releasing small press stuff for a couple years. December can be kind of a slow month.
Also true.
Also true.
You know, and, you know, I probably didn't, you know, time things in terms of my, you know, release dates and, you know, planning on, you know, it was just something I was like, oh, it's
right,
okay, I'm going to put it up.
It's cool. It's just everyone spends their money, and, you know, it's been back in January, February things. You know, I'm just saying you might try another one beginning of, you know, first quarter before you, you know, decide one way or the other. Just a suggestion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's by far, it's far from a far gone conclusion at this point.
Okay. Well, on that note, do you want to tease anything you have coming out from Infinitum?
Well, I don't have any plans yet. Like I said, some of it is going to see how this does. I have a few ideas of what I might do next, but, you know, we'll see where it goes. It might be an Icons thing, or it might be something else. Courtesy of the Open Game License, it could be any number of things. So,
Can I ask if you're thinking about Mutants and Masterminds?
Sure, that's a possibility. You know, my M&M writing is pretty heavily tied up with Green Ronin right now, but if I came up with a particular idea that didn't really fit Green Ronin's upcoming schedule that I just wanted to dash off as a short project, I might do that.
Okay, cool. Good to know. So folks, keep an eye out. Do you have any kind of web presence for Adam from Adam besides your RPG Now page?
Not yet.
Okay.
If it gets to the point where that sort of thing is needed, I might do that. But right now it's just, you know, the one thing. So, you know, having a web presence as such isn't really worth bothering.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, guys, you know, I'm just going to say this because I've had three shots of Captain Morgan now through the course of the podcast. If you guys want to do a series of short stories or a trade paperback or T-shirts about Suharo, the man cactus, I would buy them. I'm just,
right.
Don't put that out there. You know, just think about it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, a three-page, like, Hulk intro story, like the one that was at the, like the one that was in Planetary Zero, you know, like a four-page intro comic.
Yeah.
I would be fully down to illustrate something like that. That'd be a lot of fun. And speaking of the Hulk from the '60s, Hero Pack 3 is in layout right now. In case anybody was wondering, I've been waiting for people to submit character descriptions. I got the last ones in last week, So the tone of it was going to be kind of cosmic stuff, and the visual theme is Jack Kirby. So
nice.
I should have a cover preview for everyone over at RPG.net. I'll start a thread and show it off in the advertising section. So keep your eyes peeled, guys. Probably look for that around the middle of January. Like I said, I've got a couple different irons in the fire right now. I'm trying to get everything cleared off before convention season kicks up again. And then we'll see what my next project's going to be. I do know that the next high-profile thing I'm in is the Buckaroo Banzai RPG.
Right on.
I'm doing a couple pictures yet. I haven't gotten art spec and descriptions yet, but I'm sure that'll come after I turn Hero Pack 3 in.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, should I ask you about Stark City?
Sure, by all means. Stark City Games is my little personal imprint. Currently, I've got four or five different projects on the table as far as creating a world for Icons, like a setting for Icons, incorporating a solid actual setting for Icons. I know that wasn't really the goal at the beginning of Icons, but a lot of people were asking for one, and I have a lot of great writers out there, writer friends, and some guys who had put together a lot of cool layout stuff for Icons after market stuff, like Dan Gallant and yourself, by the way, Mike. Myself, I had some concepts out there that I was thinking were really fun. So, Stark City is alive and well, and hopefully we'll be getting an official like Icon setting license from Gareth. I'm putting together a promotional packet for him, kind of setting up all the concept art and stuff that I've got so far, and I'll be sitting down with Gareth and talking to him about it. So hopefully Stark City will actually be a place in the Icons universe.
Awesome.
Sweet, yep. Sweet. Oh, hey, and you mentioned Mr. Gallant. I had him on the last podcast episode. He had hacked Fate to play My Little Pony Friendship is Magic with his little girl. And
nice. Dan is amazing. I just have to say that again out loud for everyone to know. Dan is probably one of my favorite people in role-playing games right now. He goes above and beyond no matter what. Evil Dan is actually a good Dan. I think I'm the evil Dan. That was in all of our playthroughs. He called himself the evil Dan, and I'm the good Dan, but I'll grow a goatee, and I'll be evil Dan.
Yeah, he's a hell of a guy. I'm a big fan of Dan Gallant. Yep. I can't wait to see more of his work in whatever format. Yeah. Material.
Oh, I forgot. I also forgot to give a shout-out to Andrew Colas and Zenith Press. They're doing a comic instead of a role-playing thing next up, and I'm doing the inking and coloring.
Yeah.
Cool. Some of the preliminary art out there is really hot, and if you guys are friends with me on Facebook, or if you'd like to be friends with me, just mention this podcast, and I'll befriend you. If you just send me a picture of an anonymous hot-looking chick and say that I need some penis creams, I will say no to your friendship. Just a hint from my Facebook friends.
Helpful hint.
Pretty sure
you have a much different Facebook experience than I have. I usually just have high school people mistaking me for my brother, but okay. Hey,
I have been mistaken for a very famous Dan Houser, the guy from Rockstar Games. I probably get 55 requests a week going, are you the guy who made GTA 4? I'm like, man, you think I'd be on Facebook right now? I'd be owning to run my messages personally, literally poking you in the face, saying Dan wanted to talk to you. Yeah. No, I'm not that Dan.
Well, speaking of Zenith, I'm talking to them in about 45 minutes. You're welcome to join us if you want, Dan. But, yeah, I imagine with all your guests, you probably need to go play.
And also I'm preparing for tomorrow night's big jammy jam at my house. I'm doing a New Year's Eve party at my home for the first time.
Nice.
And DJing, which I haven't done in a couple of years.
What kind of DJ are you, Dan?
Alternative dance and indie rock, mainly, and some electro and some dubstep. Basically, it's mostly just mixing songs I like together. It could really literally be... I have literally mixed Ice Ice Baby with Under Pressure, like leading into a set of 70s like T-Rex and stuff like that. So I just like having fun with music.
Bum 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 ba da bum bum. Bum 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 ba da bum bum. All right, cool. All right, well, sweet. All right, sounds good. Anything else you want to talk about, fellas, before we call it a podcast?
Sounds like a podcast to me.
Sounds good.
Wrapped up, buddy.
wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
I thought it was wrapped up like a douche and another rumor in the night.
I always put it that way. Yes, folks, this is the BAM podcast, the funnier, less verbose podcast in the RPG sphere.
Indeed.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time on the BAM podcast.